Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, the first 5 seconds of the show have gone wonderfully. City Limits just blew my right eardrum out. And on top of that, I thought we were going with low lights off the top, and he big-timed me in the hallway, Paul, and everybody saw it.
Who did?
Crowley saw it. This guy right here, City Limits.
Oh, here we go.
He walked right past me. It's the first time we saw each other this morning. Callis, Crowley, and salesperson Brent all witnessed me getting big timed.
He's got the the pillbox hat.
He does have a great hat on today. He looks great.
Could I defend myself real quick?
Sure.
When we interacted in the hallway, it was 30 seconds before the show was initially supposed to start.
That's true.
And Callis is notorious for giving us very little time sometimes before the start of the show, and sometimes I have to move some things around. And when I got in here, the show was supposed to start in 15 seconds. So if I spent the 15 seconds talking to you, the headline would have went up and there'd be no one in here to give it.
I will acknowledge that the show starts at 10 and that Paul and I, neither one of us were in this room at 10:02. But that should not preclude a quick, what's up, or good morning, or hey, Joe.
I thought I said hello.
No. There was nothing.
No, I apologize.
I felt used. Your hat is unbelievable today. It's a 79 pillbox pirate hat, if that's what they call it.
That is tremendous.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And it matches my shirt, which is the old
Stand
school
up
classic
so we can
pirate.
See, there you go.
Yeah. Ooh, look at that. I love that. That's pirate. Remember on the scoreboard, they used to have that guy
laughing. Yeah, I love that.
That real deep laugh.
And remember in 79, they actually won some games and some big games at that. Paul, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I've never been better. I appreciate the inquiry. Both you and I will be playing golf in an event at Old Stonewall tomorrow, which we're beyond excited for, which will bring Donnie Football into the fray. So this is our Friday, big boy. You ready to go?
I am ready to go. I tell you what's amazing, Joe, is that, I mean, everything has gone so bad so quickly for this team.
I know.
I mean, I was out for 2 days, so I didn't get to address this. I think it was 2 days ago. What has happened to Mitch Keller now? He can't pitch.
The same thing that happened last year.
I don't understand.
He's given up touchdowns
on.
And two-point conversions. I don't know, man.
I'm like, you know, everything that can go wrong. Basically, here's how I would summarize things. If you take Joey Bart and Brian Reynolds off of this team right now, I'm not sure what you're getting excited about. Maybe, I guess, Paul Skeens.
They.
But I'm just saying, like,
had.
How did they go from
Connor Joe hitting third yesterday.
That's an embarrassment. And he was 0 for 5 with, what, 3 strikeouts or something. I mean,
Connor Joe, since May 29th, is batting one. And that was a long time ago. May 29th is batting 168 with 7 extra base hits. That's your three-hole hitter. Keep Brian Hayes at 5. But let's get to the story, Paul, right away today, because it can no longer be avoided. I don't think it was. I think we talked about it 2 days ago, but it's obvious now. And it has to be talked about across baseball. Like, I haven't turned on MLB Network, but how long for Ben Cherington and Derek Shelton? As I wrote in this morning's Post Gazette, you can read that at postgazette.com along with a wonderful column that Paul wrote. Nobody in baseball, if the announcement was made today on the off day that Bob Nutting had relieved Derek Shelton and Ben Cherington of their duties, nobody in the baseball world would blink, because the cases against both are so obvious. They're so obvious, and we don't even need to get into it. I can just tell you, most of Cherington's moves have been bad. His farm system was ranked 27th the other day, despite all the hoarding of prospects, and Shelton has the 9th worst record of all time for any manager who has managed into their...
I thought it was worse than 9th.
Well, it's actually all time. It's 24th.
Oh, okay.
But of managers who have managed 5 seasons, it's 9th worst all time. And then if you only include this year and last year, he's a bunch of games below 500. So, Paul, it's just the undeniable story right now. How long for Cherington and Shelton? Deion wrote about this today. I think if I got the gist of his column right, he said it's now. What do you say? Basically now, end of season type thing, that enough is enough.
Can I give you an unpopular opinion?
Yeah.
People are going to be very disappointed, because I don't think there's going to be any changes made.
All that, but I'm asking if you would.
Yes. I have already said I would.
Today?
I think Cherington would be gone today. And I would let Shelton stay, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And allow the next general manager to make the decision. Because, again, I think if you look at what's happened, boy, they've been really bad. The worst thing they've done is acquire talent and develop said talent. And that's on the general manager.
Did you see those farm system rankings?
Oh.
How can you be 27th? And here's the thing, Paul.
Brutal.
Look around the division. If you don't like Baseball America, then go to MLB.com. We talked about this yesterday, and I pointed out to our dear friend City Limits that having 4 in the top 100 really doesn't mean a whole lot, especially when you look around the division.
Yeah.
So the Pirates don't have any prospect in the top 40, and they have 4 in the top 100, okay? And keep in mind, the context here is they spend less than any team in the division, and in all cases but the Reds, like tens of millions of dollars less. In at least one case, $100 million less. So the Cubs have 3 of the top 36 prospects and 6 overall compared to the Pirates, 4. The Reds have 2 of the top 35 and 4 overall. The Cardinals have the number 19 prospect and 3 overall. And the Brewers, who win the division now every year, despite playing in the same size market as Pittsburgh, have 4.
Yeah.
So not only are they getting outspent wildly, they also have no advantage and probably a disadvantage on the prospect front.
Well, here's my thing. For 5 years, you've built up this system. How can you be that far down in the rankings?
Yes.
That's what I don't understand. That's what somebody has to explain to me.
And could that explain why he is so reluctant to part with even one top prospect in a trade? It's because maybe he's failed to accumulate enough to feel comfortable getting rid of even one.
Yeah, but if you're 27th or whatever you are, you know what I mean? And again, I don't get that caught up in rankings, but let's say, you know, they're being overly pessimistic and they're actually 22nd. That's still not good.
No, I don't get too caught up in those either. But you would like for the Pirates, after 5 years of hoarding prospects, to be widely acknowledged as having one of the most talented farm systems in baseball, and they're not.
Right, and you've been building it for 5 years. That's the worst part. 5 years you've been building this thing.
So basically, you're saying fire Charrington today and let the next guy decide on Shelton, which means the end of Shelton. What do you say, Limits? He's on the telephone. 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, we have John Parrotto later in the show, Jeff Hathorn later in the show. Lots of things happening here, but the Pirates are now on sort of almost a historic slide. The season has blown up. And here we sit. So what say you, City Limits? Paul says get rid of Charrington today and let the next guy decide on Shelton, presumably after the season. What about you?
You know, typically the manager is the first fall guy if it's not like a positional coach. I would move on from the manager first and then allow, kind of like what Paul was saying, the general manager, whoever the next guy is, to make the decision at the end of
the
season.
You'd fire Charrington today?
I would not fire Charrington today, but at the end of the season, if this slide continues, I would.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm going to render my opinion in a moment, but Paul, I want to play for you the end of the Derek Shelton show the other day when I asked him about job security and about whether there had been an ultimatum passed before the season. Let's take a listen to that. Shelty, this question I ask respectfully. We've talked about this before, but things are going so poorly now that people wonder, and I wonder, if you feel like you're managing for your job the rest of this season.
No, in terms of managing for my job, no, I don't feel that, you know, any more so today than I did earlier in the year. I think anybody that's in this position always feels that. So, no, I'm focused on winning games and making sure that we continue to play good baseball.
Did you get any sort of ultimatum before the year from Bob Dunning that this had to be a winning season?
Yeah, you know I'm not going to answer that question. You know we don't talk about what we talk about in-house.
Okay. Well, Shelty, good luck tonight. I mean, that ended it.
Yeah, that's
and I do approach those topics very respectfully.
Yeah.
It's someone's job we're talking about.
Absolutely.
But we're all accountable to the results. Well, we're all accountable. You and I to ratings, him to wins.
Yeah, that's just it. And I think the most important thing is if you are somebody that's in a position, right, where you have to produce something, guess what? You're going to be under pressure or whatever to perform. So, yeah.
Well, now take a listen to this, because among the reasons that Shelton is under fire, of course, it goes beyond the record, right? The record's number one, but how they got there, it's management of bullpen lately. It's, for me at least, one of the things that stands out is how Shelton constantly touts how hard his team plays, which to me is bothersome in the first place, because it's like, if that's all you got, that's the least anybody should expect.
Even last night, he was talking about how, well, you know, we scrapped till the end.
You know?
You were down 8-0.
It's the least.
The Padres were lost interest in that game in about the fourth inning.
Right. So, A, it's the least to be expected. And B, by all available evidence, it's not true. I've seen guys jogging to, for we all have, over the past week or so, if not longer than that. We've seen guys jogging out of the box and turning doubles into singles on multiple occasions. Listen to John Wehner, Paul, from the Fan Morning Show the other day. This was when the losing streak was only at 8.
I don't think there's any excuses for not running hard or playing hard. There's no excuses for not catching a ball that's thrown right at you. So whether there's pressure or no pressure, you know, it's baseball, and it's baseball at the highest level. And there are no excuses for not running hard, whether you're winning 20 in a row or losing 20 in a row, whether there's pressure on you or there's no pressure on you. There's no excuses for that. I'm sorry. And we've seen a ball off the wall last week, the center field wall, where we don't get a double out of it. I'm sorry, but that's, you know, when you talk about the one run away, they've lost, I guess, seven of the last 11 games they've won. They've lost by one run. To make up that one run, you got to play hard. You got to make opportunities. You don't give up on opportunities. Instead of being on second, you're on first. Instead of being on second, you're out. And so when you keep losing one run games and you run into outs or you don't take advantage of opportunities, you're going to lose one run games. You know, if you can't make a play defensively, you're going to lose one-run games. That's just the matter of the fact. Pressure, I mean, yeah, there's pressure on players. I mean, there's pressure on players to stay in the big leagues. There's pressure on players to get another contract, okay? And how they deal with that pressure is, you know, whether they stay in the big leagues or get another contract. And so as far as pressure on Derek Shelton, I mean, he doesn't show it. He comes in and he's the same every day. You know, can he be held accountable? Yeah, and so can the coaches, and so could the front office, and so can the players. Everybody's going to be held accountable for this.
Are they? That's my question. But he also said the thing, I don't know if we heard it there or not, the thing I look at and get more frustrated with than anything is the effort there consistently, Wehner said. Is it there 100% of the time? At times, it's not.
Right.
So I think of all the things that bother me about Shelton, because a lot of the bullpen moves are 50-50.
Right. And you can argue that with just about every manager. I mean, Tony La Russa,
yes.
You could watch his bullpen moves, and I'm sure there were some that you would just say, what is he doing? But I agree with you.
I think it's the lack of accountability for not playing hard that bothers me the most. Having said all that, I do have an unpopular opinion on this, Paul. And I've thought a lot about this. I thought a lot about it last night and this morning before I got ready for the show and when I put together my piece for the Post-Gazette, because it's a big deal if you put out there into the world that somebody should get fired right now. And like I said, if Bob Nutting did that today, I would have no reason to rip him. I couldn't quibble with it. Having said that, I went back to 2011 and 12 and what that led to, which was 2013. And I went back and looked at something I wrote after the 12 season. After totally rebuilding the franchise with Huntington, Hurdle was brought in. And in his first 2 years, his team collapsed unbelievably.
Right.
He won 38 of 130 games in August and September. His teams collapsed completely. And I wrote after that season, almost what I'm saying now is I couldn't blame Nutting for firing Huntington and Hurdle, but my take would be put him on a hot seat going into 2013. And we all know what happened in 2013. Things suddenly changed.
Yeah.
I would be willing to give these two guys that chance going into next season. I would.
That was year one and two, though.
For Hurdle. Yeah, it was year six for Huntington.
Right.
It was his, right. I think it was even his 17th.
And here's what's kind of interesting. Wasn't it going into 13 that they got Russell Martin and A.J. Burnett?
Yes.
Which would mean if I'm Charrington or if I'm Nutting, whatever, you're basically saying, listen, this team as constituted is not good enough.
Right.
I don't want to hear about the farm system. Don't want to hear about this prospect and that prospect. I want you to go out and find major league players that will upgrade this team.
And Liriano, I might add.
And Liriano.
Now, he got lucky, Paul.
Right, with
Liriano. Nobody was with all three, really. All three were on the downturn.
But I think
he went out and made – they turned out to be incredible moves.
I think Burnett – The feeling was Burnett was probably done in New York, like New York City was. He was done with it.
Yeah,
coming here kind of breathed, you know, fresh air into him. Liriano was had a bunch of injuries and stuff, and everybody's like, well, he's good, but can he actually stay healthy for more than a month? And of course, he did, and was one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yes,
and then to their credit, they got exactly what they thought they were getting in Russell Martin.
Yeah, so, and more from the plate.
Right, absolutely. But my point is they wanted to bring him in because of his ability to really handle pitching staffs and to be a really good defensive catcher. And,
yes.
And they liked his clubhouse presence.
For sure. And they also had guys who seemed to be on the verge, and Walker, McCutchen was already there, Alvarez, etc. You could argue that it's a different situation. But here's why I'm giving them the beginning of next season on blazing hot seats, is because I think that Charrington deserves that time to see if some of his babies finally grow up. And I'm talking about Davis, talking about Andy Rodriguez, I'm talking about Nick Gonzalez, who's done some growing up. I think he should get that. I do.
Okay.
To see if that happens. And I think Shelton should get that to see if that happens. And plus, the last factor in this is I still There's tons of blame to go around. It begins and ends at the top. I get it with Bob Nutting. But the players, players who were reasonably counted on this season to provide winning baseball, instead gave them losing baseball. And I mean Key Brian Hayes. Some people had him as a low-key MVP candidate. Jack Sawinski, for his ups and downs, he had 26 homers. You thought he was on the upswing. David Bednar, Colin Holderman. Those guys have failed. When they were reasonably expected on to be good players, they've been miserable. So all of that, Paul, leads me to my conclusion that I couldn't rip him if he did it now. But I'm willing to give them the beginning of next season. That's my conclusion.
I think this. If they get to the offseason, but here's the thing, Joe. I would reserve. I actually would agree with you. And now that I think about it, I would agree with you. I don't know about Charrington, though.
Man, neither do I. I mean, if your argument is they should both go today, I have the worst argument. I admit that. I have the worst argument.
My argument is that Charrington probably, if this thing goes really far south, by the same token, you know what? They would have to, like Bob Nutting would have to basically tell Charrington, listen, you have to make this team better next year. I don't want to hear about we're in good position in 2028 or 29. I don't want to hear about that. If you have to trade some of our prospects, I don't care what it is. I'll give you a little bit of money for a payroll or whatever, but next year has to be better, period. I could look at 11 and 12 and say, you know what, maybe this team is on the precipice of something. But again, I can't stress enough that in 11 and 12, they had a really good young MVP candidate in Andrew McCutchen, which
yeah.
I don't know that they have that guy here. You right. know what I'm saying? They added three really important players, which are they going to go add those guys? I don't know. They had, they had Starling Marte. Do they even have a guy like that? I mean, is Cruz equivalent of Starling Marte? Certainly not on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, there were some pieces in place, plus they added to some pieces where I'm like, I don't know if those pieces exist right now.
Yeah. I mean, that just has to happen. But again, if Nutting woke up today and said, that's it, it would be really hard to argue against. I get it at 412-928-9370, 928-9370. I just really tried to put myself back in the spot I was in October of 2012 doing this show, maybe with Mulsey then, and writing, and it was the exact same feeling. I don't know if people remember the depth to which they collapsed both seasons. They were pretty good up until August, and then it was historic the way they lost, kind of like this is. Again, Clint Hurdle in 11 and 12, his winning percentage in August and September combined in those two seasons was .330.
Wow.
He won 38 of 130 games, and it was like, and by the way, Hurdle at that point had managed 9 full seasons in Major League Baseball, and 8 of them were losing seasons. The other, he went to the World Series. 8 of 9 losing seasons. So the feeling was like, we're not never going to get there. We're never going to get there with Hurdle and Huntington's in year 6 going into year 7. This is a disaster. And Paul's right. He went out, and it was a combination of skill and luck. I mean, he got A.J. Burnett for nothing because A.J. Burnett was on a downturn. Liriano, nobody wanted. He got him for a ridiculous price, and then the price went down when Liriano broke his arm in some weird story where he was playfully trying to scare his kids on Christmas. You remember that? He broke his arm. And then they went out and got Russell Martin on the cheap,
yeah.
Knowing that he was coming here to build back up his resume so he could go back on the open market, which he did. He struck gold with all three. Charrington decidedly did not. Although he did bring in Joey Bart, but in the likes of Rowdy and, you know, Michael A. Taylor and Grandal, it's a disaster. what happened. He gets one more chance, and that might be pushing it, and I admit that. But for me, he gets one more chance. And so does Shelty, admitting all his shortcomings. The one that frustrates me the most is his touting of how hard his team plays when it's not true. Certainly not lately. Well, and that's not media guys talking or fans.
Well,
you have somebody like John Wehner, broadcaster, go on the air and say that. Paul, that's telling to me.
Listen, I know there were some people that objected to the fact that I said, after watching six games with the Diamondbacks and the Pirates, the one thing that struck me is that the Diamondbacks are not only better baseball, not only better hitters than the Pirates, they play the game better than the Pirates do.
Yeah.
They move runners up. They tag up. They run, you know what I mean? They take extra bases. They manufacture bases. You know what I mean? They hit behind their runners. They use their weak hitters to bunt. I mean, they are so much better at playing the actual game of baseball than the Pirates. Forget about the talent level. They play the game better. And I think that's the thing that's most frustrating about the Pirates is that if you're undermanned, because of payroll or whatever, you got young guys or what, you know, you don't have as much talent. I get it. But if you don't maximize what you do, you have no chance. None. Because the bottom line is these last nine games or whatever it's been against the Padres and the Dodgers and then the Diamondbacks before that, that's three teams that are clearly better than the Pirates. Top to bottom, and all three of them play the game better than the Pirates do.
And doesn't that inability to be able to play small ball, correctly move over runners, fall on the coaching staff?
I do agree with that. And Andy Haynes has to go. But but also, well, I can't help but say they win most of these games if Holderman and Bednar do their job.
Very true. I mean, the players deserve a lot of blame.
That's just for whatever else is happening and not happening. And we saw the Padres make a lot of crap plays in this series, by the way.
What is usually the Padres, through, you know, they're sloppy in the field, but they can overcome it because they're so good.
Right.
You know what I mean? They can hit the hell out of the ball. So they can overcome giving teams four or five outs in an inning and, you know, the catcher can't catch and all the other crazy stuff. But I was just going to say this. The first step, if you're going to bring back Shelton and Charrington, you know, unfortunately, you got to say, listen, we're cleaning house. Your pitching coach, your instructors, your hitting coach, we're cleaning house. Go find new guys.
The pitching coach, Paul, is the one I disagree with. I actually think he's done a good job. But it seems like the hitters, whenever somebody gets better, it seems like it's not the Pirates who are doing it, or at least not Andy Haynes. You know what I mean?
Like, what happened to Jack Suwinski? What happened to Henry Davis?
Key Brian Hayes. He went lower in the organization for help. You know, some of the pitchers have failed. Holderman would be an example later this season. But I think by and large, between how the prospects are doing coming through the system and then guys like Skeens, Jones, Falter, I've seen some progress with young guys that way.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? Oh, our Pirates reaction and also Steeler camp reaction brought to you by Bet365. JP Roofing and Siding gives us the rundown of what's happening on today's show. As I mentioned, John Parrotto, Jeff Hathorne, a lot of Pirate talk. We'll get into Steeler talk here at the end of training camp. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's take the calls are lighting up like Malzi at a craft beer house, are they not? Let's take one to lead us off here. You're our leadoff guy.
Here is Joe in Monroeville to get us going.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, you guys. I hope you can hear me. I'm walking out on a busy street right now.
Hopefully not to end it all after this 10-game losing streak, Joe. Go ahead.
Oh, God. Hey, listen. I've called in before about this very subject. And as long as Nutting owns this team, they're not going to do anything. They caught fire, like you said, in 12 and 13. But as far as Charrington, Gus, you know, as far as firing him, I mean, it's the 12th worst minor league system, then yeah, he's got to go.
27th worst, according to Baseball America, but go ahead.
But and as far as Shelton goes, I remember a game earlier. I forget what team it was. It was later in the game. The opposing pitcher had just walked in, I think the tying run, and for the Pirates, of course. And O'Neill Cruz came up to bat, who was batting very poorly at the time. And I think the count was 3-0 or 3-1. And the bases are loaded, and Shelton allowed him to swing. And he hit into a double play, I believe.
Yeah, and I know we appreciate the call. All these things are magnified when they're losing to the level that they're losing.
That's the thing about that is because they're losing, we're going to, you know, pick apart little things. I don't think – my thing is, how are you playing? And I don't care what anybody says, Joe. I've watched at least three times in the last week where I thought the Pirates' body language was horrible. I thought that they were horrible.
And so does Wehner.
And I
obviously
thought that they, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things where you can kind of tell that, you know, if a team's deflated a little bit or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then, you know, It does begin with Bob Nutting.
Right.
Here's the thing I've been saying about Nutting lately, after 25 years of ripping him, is we all agree. 99.9% of our callers, every media member, every host on The Fan, all agrees that the owner needs to spend more and that it's been pretty much mostly a disaster, with the exception of three, maybe four seasons. We all agree on that. So then the next question is, how do you win with this owner on a low payroll? And I used to rail against the unfairness in Major League Baseball, and it is a joke. It's laughable that one team could be spending $62 million like the A's and another $316 million like the Mets and close to that the Yankees.
Right.
But I also look, and in the bottom 12 payrolls, first of all, Tampa Bay has won almost every year with the similar payroll to the Pirates. So they're doing it. Why not the Pirates?
Right.
Then I look at the bottom 12 payrolls. I see Minnesota, 12th lowest, 67-53. Kansas City, lower than them, winning record playoff team, pretty much. Milwaukee, with the 10th lowest payroll in all of baseball, division leader. Baltimore, with the 9th lowest payroll in all of baseball, might be the best team in baseball. And if they're not, then the team with the 8th lowest payroll, Cleveland, is. So don't feed me this crap anymore about how you just can't win with low payrolls. It's disproven every single year.
And Joe, it should be pointed out that Cleveland and Baltimore are both teams that essentially stripped it down and rebuilt.
Yes.
Now,
man, I hope Charrington.
Obviously, they scouted, drafted, developed, traded much better than the Pirates have.
That's the problem right now. And that's on Mr. Ben Charrington. And the Orioles, by the way, have started winning and winning big. They've made major trades involving prospects, and they're still sitting here with more higher rated prospects than the Pirates. More of them. It's unreal. So yeah, there's tons of blame to go around, and the Pirates really do need to get up to $100 million.
Right.
Because the teams I did mention, to be fair and to put it in its right context, like Cleveland, Baltimore, Milwaukee are above $100 million.
Right.
You got to get there, Bob. Come on. You got to get there. We all agree on that. But again,
I look at Baltimore. Okay. How is it they end up with all the young prospects and young guys they have in their lineup?
Yeah.
They did the same thing. They stripped it down. They just drafted guys better.
They've drafted
They've
better.
Developed guys better.
Yes, both of those. Like, and that's like, on Charrington. There's
Charrington,
no doubt.
Does Charrington have under his belt anyone close to Gunnar Henderson?
No. That was supposed to be Henry Davis. But again, right. I would say let's, in fairness, I think I want to see Andy Rodriguez. He got hurt. He was one of the hottest prospects in all of baseball. I want to see him. I want to see Henry Davis one more time.
Right.
I want to see Nick Gonzalez, if he can build on what he did this year, which was pretty good, especially in the clutch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, Paul, let's let the people have their say here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. It's the unavoidable topic, the job security of Derek Shelton and Ben Charrington. Things have fallen apart to the point where I'm sure everybody around baseball is asking about that, and nobody around baseball, frankly, would be surprised, I don't think, if it all ended today. For both of them. I mean, that's pro sports, man. They're in year five here of a rebuild. They were supposed to be way better this season, and they're in last place, and they've lost 10 in a row. And this is not what anybody signed up for here this season. 928-9370 limits. Let's hit the phones.
Joe, here's Joe. He's in Mount Lebanon.
What's up, Joe?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
A couple of things. You know, the team, I know Shelton has a lot of criticism, especially how he handled the bullpen, Holderman in particular, but overall the starting pitching carried this team. And when you look at their lineup at the beginning of the season, most people in baseball or who follow baseball would say that lineup's not very good. And the lineup has continued to get worse as the season went along. So, you know, overall, I mean, like Paul was saying before, Shelton has very few options. When you look at the lineup, who's he going to put out there? And Joe, you made a good point before. You know, you can win with the lower payroll. However, you did say Milwaukee's last year, they spent $45 million more than the Pirates. Milwaukee cut their payroll back this year. They're spending still $30 million more than the Pirates. For $30 million, plus the money you could have saved for Taylor and Tellez and Grandal.
Yeah, no doubt. That's why we pointed out later in the conversation that he needs to spend more. But having said that, you can still win on this payroll. You can, because Tampa does it every year. Appreciate the call. Paul, your turn. Who's up next here? You can answer this guy.
Okay, go ahead. Shoot it.
Limits.
I was on the phone with somebody else. I'm sorry. Here's Rob in Washington.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hello, Rob.
Terrible question. Listen, the season's over. The season is over. I want to build for next year. How about we bring Henry Davis up, play him at first base, give Mug Cutchin a break now and then, Joey Bart a break at the plate, get him up here. How about bringing up, instead of, I'm tired of watching Connor Joe and Bay and the rest of these guys, how about bringing up some of those guys from Indianapolis for the rest of the season? Instead of them learning next year, how about we bring them up and see what we got this year and let these guys play every day for the rest of the season? Your thoughts?
Well, they're not going to do that because they're not going to just throw away the season, which is what you're basically saying. And I know that it doesn't make a lot of sense. I would probably, here's my thing. I would definitely have Henry Davis here playing every day just to kind of try and figure out what you have. And to be honest with you, I might even go as far as to say, and I know he's a fan favorite now and all the other stuff, I might even just basically say, listen, Joey Bart, you're going to be our first baseman and our DH for the next 30 games or 40 games because you are a part of our future. And I want to see if Henry Davis can catch. And Roddy Tellez will not be here next year. And guess what? If you DH every day that you're not playing first base, it's okay if Andrew McCutchen gets a little bit of a break. But that's what I would say. I don't understand why Henry Davis is not here.
He should be. And, man, they better bring up players, Paul,
yes,
in September. And I know the rosters don't expand anywhere close to what they used to expand to. But why would you play Connor Joe, Michael A. Taylor, Grandal, Tellez, even McCutchen in September when you're playing for next year?
Yeah.
Don't you want to get a look at Nick York and Billy Cook, Ron's son, and Henry Davis and Endy? They say Endy's going to come back. All those guys need at-bats. The Pirates owe these one-year contract guys. McCutchen's an exception, obviously. But the one-year contract guys who are underachieving, they owe them nothing in September.
Right.
Nothing.
No, you're right.
They owe themselves that evaluation period for, and especially Henry Davis tops the list. Plus, Gonzalez is coming back, Paul.
Right.
So I'm getting Henry Davis, Andy Rodriguez, Nick York, Billy Cook, Gonzalez. And who else am I? And Peguero, who we haven't seen all year. Where's he been? We have to watch Jared Triolo come to the plate every day? 300 times?
Well,
Where has Peguero been? I know he's not tearing it up in AAA, but I'm not sure he's not a better option offensively than some of what we've seen. In fact, I'm sure he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think to me, like, I think the caller actually is onto something from the standpoint of let's see what you have with some of these young guys. But Joe, do you agree with me about this? Joey Bart might be your first baseman next year. Or Henry Davis.
Do I agree that that could happen or it should happen? Because it shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't
happen. He should be your catcher.
But I'm saying if he's better at first base than Andy Rodriguez or Henry Davis.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Hey, man, I'm open to anything, but what do you do with O'Neal Cruz? What would you do with him? He can't play shortstop. They may keep him there. I'm moving him out of shortstop.
Can I give you a very, 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 very radical idea?
Yeah.
I trade him.
That's a radical idea. Tell me more.
I think you can get something for him. I think you can probably get a lot for him.
You know who I would trade?
But you know what? He's one of those players.
See, I'm in love with that bat still. I want to see where that goes, especially now that he's hitting lefties when he gets a chance to play against them.
I am too, but I think he's going to be a problem in the field for the rest of his career.
Then make him a DH.
I don't think he would. I don't think he's got the personality to not. I think he has to be engaged in the game.
Put him in right. Hide him in right field. He can't be worse than De La Cruz in right field.
Right, but he doesn't want to play out there.
I don't care what he wants.
I'm just saying. I think he's a guy that wants to play shortstop, and he's going to be a problem if you try and move him somewhere else. So to me, trade him. Whatever.
See, you know who I would trade? Mitch Keller. And I would get a bat in return, an equivalent bat. In return for him.
I thought
he was taking the next step this season, and now he's giving up touchdowns again.
This is the same conversation we had a month ago, and you told me I was crazy when I said they should be thinking about trading Mitch Keller.
I said they should trade Mitch Keller at the beginning of the season.
That's what I'm saying. Mitch Keller and Bednar, I thought trade deadline, you could have got a king's ransom for him. And hell, now hindsight being 2020, I was talking about Chapman too, maybe. I'm just saying, I agree.
Maybe they should have done what the Rays did. The Rays are 59-61, and they rebuilt their farm system. But no, they should have made better trades. But I would think about, I would have thought about trading Keller early in the year in a baseball trade. Not prospect trade. You get a young, already established hitter who is the hitting equivalent of Mitch Keller. That's what I would do. Would you trade O'Neill Cruz like Paul would?
I just think he's going to – listen, I think he's going to be a problem in the field as long as you have him. I don't think there's a good position for him. I don't think he wants to play another position. I think he's the kind of player, if you put him in right field, he's going to pout and be useless to you. If you try and put him at DH, he's going to just not be all that engaged in what's going on.
If his bat goes where I think it still could go, I guess I could even live with him at shortstop. I mean, if this guy turns into – look at the numbers he's got this season.
Yeah.
Coming off an injury and after a rough start. I mean, he's been scalding the ball.
Again,
I still think there's a lot of potential there. And if I had to live with him at short, live with all that crap at shortstop, and he gave me, 30, 35 home runs, I could live with that.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. And if you do trade him, though, you're continuing to add to the problem of no offense when he's one of your top three hitters.
My point is – everybody that wants to do something with him defensively, your only option is to trade him. I'm okay with the fact that he's just not very good in the field. I'm okay with that.
What do you think would happen if he went to right field?
I think he would pout and probably not be that good.
Maybe he'd be relieved. I mean, I don't know. I've never talked to the guy in my life.
Remember they tried to
maybe
do it.
Maybe he'd be relieved
they tried
not to
put
have
him
to play
in the
short.
Outfield. They tried to put him in the outfield in the minors, and it was a disaster because he didn't want to be there. His heart wasn't in it.
Well, maybe it would be now. Maybe the pressure would be relieved now that this has turned into an abject disaster. I don't know. And then you got De La Cruz. What do you do with him? I get the feeling that Ben Cherington felt forced to make a trade, forced to do something, and wound up going for a guy that even he may not have a high opinion of. That's sort of the impression I get. What do you do with this guy? He's a one-tool player, and that tool's not even showing up.
Yeah, but he's only been here, 15 games?
Look at his career numbers, City Limits.
Numbers coming into the team at the trade deadline, he was tied for the most home runs of anybody on the team and third in RBIs.
Yeah, that's damning with faint praise. I mean,
well, yeah, but
look at his OPS numbers. They've gone down every year. 783 as a rookie, and that was only in 58 games. 725, 715, 707 this year. And lower than that because it's 408 since he got here. He's a minus player in WAR because he's a horrible fielder. He's just not a very good baseball player. But they're so desperate for power that he should provide some of that. I don't even think he would be a guarantee on my team for next year. He's a minus player.
They traded for the wrong Marlins outfielder, I think we can all agree. And Chisholm's hurt in New York right now and has been banged up throughout his career. But they took just an average swing when they needed to take a pretty decent swing, a big swing. Is that the reason why they collapsed? Maybe you can make it one little branch off the tree. But it definitely doesn't help going into the future knowing that this guy has struggled as badly as he has late in the season where how optimistic do you really feel about your outfield? Do you feel better about your outfield now than you did 2 weeks ago?
How many established, like good, established good major league players do the Pirates have going into next season?
Reynolds.
Position players.
Position players?
Reynolds.
Two.
Reynolds?
Reynolds, and I'd say Cruz, even though his defense is horrendous.
I would say Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Yeah, Kiner-Falefa as
well. I like him.
Yeah.
He's
okay.
I hate saying this because, again, this is what we're talking about, okay? My thing is, if you're really interested in winning, Kiner-Falefa would start next season as your starting shortstop. You'd have Gonzalez at second and Cruz in right field. That's the ideal world. I just don't know if Cruz would want to do that.
And Joey Bart's on that list, too.
For me,
I'd say four.
Kiner-Falefa is not on that list for me. I'm sorry. He's an excellent fielder, but you look at his career, he has no power. His OPSs for his whole career are all below 700, except this season he had an outlier start with Toronto, and since he's come here, what's his OPS? 655. What's his batting average? 239. How many home runs? Zero. I ain't putting him in that category of a good established position player. I'm not. I think they have one, and that's Brian Reynolds. I like where Cruz is trending right now, but he ain't there yet.
Yeah, I think Joey Bart has to count on that list.
A good established major leaguer? He has 160 at-bats. Established is the key word. 160 at-bats. I love what he's doing. He would be in the pole position, as Mike Tomlin would say, going into next season. But there is no way I'm convinced on any major league player after 160 at-bats. I can't be.
Here's the thing, though. I like Kiner-Falefa or whatever, Falefa or Falefa. I like him as a shortstop.
You know, a third baseman. He won a gold glove there.
Well, that's a very tricky discussion because you and I in City Limits sitting here probably could say, yeah, put him at third because Brian Hayes, they're not going to do that. Everybody out there, we all just have to come to grips with the fact that for the next two seasons, at the very least, Brian Hayes will be the third baseman. Whether he deserves to be, whether he's earned it, or what, he will be their third baseman because they gave him that big contract and because they continue to. And I saw a little clip on Twitter, I think just from the show 2 days ago, where you asked about Ke'Bryan Hayes and Derek Shelton said something to the effect of his high-level defense, right?
So are you saying he's untradeable?
I don't know that you can trade them unless there's a team that's got, you know, hitters everywhere that needs to shore up their defense a little bit. Maybe.
I think he's tradable. So does Destiny's Child, because there's other teams who look at the Pirates and say, hey, Ke'Bryan Hayes last year, 15 home runs. His first year in only 24 games, you remember that, he hit. At a 762 OPS, we're not the Pirates. We can bring out something in him, and he's a gold glove third baseman. And this contract you speak of is not a big contract. It's a very reasonable contract for a third baseman. I don't even think – is he in the top 15 third baseman in the league in his contract? Can you look that up, City Limits, in annual value? Paul, I think he is tradable. I do.
Everybody's tradable. I'm just saying.
I think other people may consider him a piece they want because they have a hitting coach.
Right. Right. But what I'm saying is I don't believe the Pirates would do that.
Do you believe they would trade Cruz?
No.
I would trade Hayes.
I'm saying I would, but I don't believe that they're going to do either of those things. I mean, let's be realistic. If we're realistic and we're not lying to ourselves, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Rodriguez, Davis, or Bart One will be the catcher. One will be the first baseman next year. Would you agree with that?
Has there been talk of Bart going to first base?
No, I'm just saying one of those three is going to be the first baseman. I could be Andy Rodriguez because he's got the, you know, the issue that he's coming off of, and maybe they. But I'm just saying it will not shock me if I look to next year and I say that one of those three will be a first baseman.
Maybe.
Hayes is 17th at $7 million.
He's not even in the top 15 third baseman in average salary. And he's been a plus four WAR player every year except this year, pretty much. So well, I think he's very tradable.
They could trade him then.
I do.
They could.
You can count him as 15th as high as you can because Vlad Guerrero Jr. is considered a first baseman, third baseman.
What does he make?
Kiner Falefa, third, well, shortstop. This year, $7 million for Hayes.
Right.
Yeah,
highest paid
nothing.
Third baseman is Anthony Rendon, who's not doing anything this year, $38 million.
$38 million?
$38 million
Yeah.
For Anthony Rendon. Nolan Arenado making 35 a second.
Holy horse follicles.
And Nolan Arenado's doing nothing either.
Now, all these guys are making, Riley making 21. Bregman making 20 this year. Chapman,
Johan Moncada,
18.
24.
He's not within 10 million of these guys. That's what I'm saying.
Rafi Devers, 27.5. Bregman, 28.5.
Why did he sign this deal? Maybe he thought he couldn't hit moving forward. I don't know. But he did for the final 3 months last season. What has been? He's the biggest story of the year. Negative story. Skeens is the biggest positive story. Do you guys agree on that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Henry Davis is a 1-1 pick in the expectations they were put on him this year. That's my number one
story. Right. Him and Davis.
Yeah.
Except that Hayes had somewhat of a track record.
It's less a track record than Henry Davis did, but we're just, you know, kind of pinching hairs there. Splitting hairs.
I've never heard the phrase pinching hair.
No.
Yeah.
Have you, Paul?
No.
You ever pinched some hair before? If you have like an arm hair that you want to get rid of, you just pinch it?
Pinch
try to
it
pull
out?
It?
You pull it out? No, I'm afraid of
no.
that. Yeah.
It doesn't work too successfully. I've tried.
Let's get to Jeff Hathorn, shall we? Is he next?
He's next.
All right. Let's talk to Jeff about all these issues. Call now to win two tickets to see Jeff Lynne's ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, live on the Over and Out Tour, PPG Paints Arena, September 10th. Coming up, caller number two to our dear friend City Limits, 412-928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills and our baseball coverage on the Fan in that segment, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T. And Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/switch. I have an unbelievable stat on Steelers quarterbacks. We're going to help, Jeff's going to help us, I should say, wrap up training camp, which is over now. Steelers have a scrimmage game against the Bills today. Think Josh Allen will throw for four touchdowns in the first quarter of that one, Paul?
No, because I think he'll play maybe one series and then he'll be out.
So just one touchdown.
How about better question? Will
Russell?
No. What was your nickname for the? Oh, will the Trubisky train throw four touchdowns? Because he's probably going to play two and a half quarters.
That's your cue, City Limits. The Trubisky train, the original one. We need to hear it. He's playing.
I'm
today.
Doing the contest right now that you just
forget
teased.
The contest. We need the Trubisky train. Fan weather. Sun Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates, terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. The Fan, 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDK, and WAMO 107.3, partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the hashtag Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive. Visit the link on our homepage, 937thefan.com. Support as an individual or a group and help ensure a good start to the school year. Jeff Hathorn next. Woo-hoo! It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.